This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
We head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Welcome on Ian Begley. He covers the Knicks, Nets, and NBA for SNY. Ian, welcome to the show.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing all right here. My partner's already giving the Knicks a pass because they played in overtime last night. He's not giving the Cavs a pass. Do you think basically both teams playing in overtime last night cancels out that excuse for either team?
I would say yes. I would say you look at the Knicks, the injury situation is not ideal. But I would also say this, like, if you're the NBA, maybe you didn't see this coming into the year. Maybe you didn't know in August, but don't do this on a back-to-back. This is a great game. Give teams regular rest to play in this game. And obviously that's not the case. But certainly, yeah, back-to-back overtime for the Knicks, early tip. And it's just not a great situation for them, but Cleveland pretty much in the same boat. I think for New York, you're hoping to get an OG Anunoby back. We'll find out about that soon, but tough test for them.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the heart of my frustration lies with the NBA in this one. I'm not blaming the Knicks or really the Cavs. It's more the idea that why are we doing back-to-backs and then a national televised game where you don't get many of these games in general, but to have two of the top teams in the East meet up, and it just seems like it's just, okay, I guess they'll play, but we can't take too much away from it. Kind of stinks, Ian.
It does, I agree, because it's about the competition. That's what everybody wants to see. They want to see these teams compete at their best, and no excuses coming into the game. So, yeah, I think this was, again, maybe they didn't see it coming into this season, but I think this was a miss by the league to have these games on the second night of back-to-backs.
Ian, it's probably fair to say you've watched more Knicks basketball than Peterlin or I have this year. So
I hope so.
Is that fair? Okay, that's probably good. Yeah, we watch some, but we don't cover it the way you do. So I'm curious: do you think the Knicks are in the same category with the Cavs and Celtics, or do you see them as a rung down?
I think they're a rung down, and I say that because of the results on the floor so far this year. Knicks a combined 0-5. Against Cleveland and Boston. And so you need to show, in my mind, you have to show something in these games in order to be considered in that higher tier. And the Knicks getting blown out by the Celtics. Did I say 0-5? I'm sorry. I meant 0-3. But the Knicks getting blown out by the Celtics twice. And the Cleveland game was early in the year. But to me, they have Cleveland, they have Boston this weekend. You got to split. And you got to be competitive in the game you lose if you want to be considered anywhere near that top echelon of the East where Cleveland is and where Boston is.
Yeah, where you got 0-5 was you added on the Thunder games, and then they're 0-5. And that's my problem with this Knicks team. I feel like they're very, very good, but then you get the top teams, and they just don't stack up. I know where they've made the advances, and I like Cat a lot, and I like Brunson a lot, but they're just a little bit short.
Yeah, the length is not there. I mean, ideally, they'd have another big wing coming off the bench. That's not the case. And, you know, if Anunoby does not play, Josh Hart not going to play, that means you have Miles McBride and Precious Achiuwa in your starting lineup. Those guys played well against Chicago, but just length perspective, Miles McBride, I think he's 6'2", maybe. So, yeah, you're losing something there with Brunson, too. And this team, like, if Anunoby comes back healthy and if Mitchell Robinson can come back healthy and impact the game the way they have previously in their careers, this could be a good Knick team, and it could have, you know, just enough to hang with a Cleveland or a Boston and make things interesting over 7 games. But there's variables there that you have questions about, and those questions, you know, are there for a reason. And so we just don't know at this point. I think we'll know more about the Knicks in April when Robinson is back and he's got his sea legs underneath them, and we'll see what everybody looks like then.
At full health, is this team better with Cat than they were the team that went to went into the playoffs last year?
I'd say yes. But, you know, there's different contexts there. Like, obviously, DiVincenzo was fantastic for the Knicks, and Julius Randle, they're not at this place as a franchise in a big picture sense without Julius Randle. I don't want to diminish either of those guys brought to the table. But it would have been tricky for the Knicks and Randle, I think, this year, because they were not going to extend him. And so he would have been facing potential free agency this summer. And the way the fans have been with him, everything that went sideways with the Knicks, he would get the blame. And so it would just have been a tough dynamic, I think. So for that reason, but also for basketball reasons, I do think this team is in a better spot to compete long-term and to compete this spring than that Knicks team was last year.
Do the fans and the media, we know Tibbs is very polarizing in general, but what's the response to Tibbs as the head coach?
I mean, you guys know New York, right? Like, you ask 2 Knicks fans, you get 3 opinions. So polarizing is how he is here. And so there are people in his camp. There are people who, you know, don't care about the minutes. They're not the minutes police, as Thibodeau likes to refer to them as. But, you know, there are people who also see him play these guys in blowouts, playing his starters when the score is not close and they're still in there with 2 minutes to go in the fourth. And that's the situation where I can't wrap my head around. That's the part I don't understand. I think Tom Thibodeau's a fantastic coach, but you're not going to convince me that there's a reason for your starters to be in a game that's already been decided with 3-4 minutes to go.
So on one hand, Tom Thibodeau has successfully raised the Knicks to a place where I don't know anyone expected him to get when he was hired, and certainly where they have not consistently been for a long time. But if they stay the 3 seed and if they go to the semifinals this year and get bounced out again, that'll be 3 straight years in the semifinals. Is this maybe the if they get bounced out in these playoffs, could maybe this be the thing that unsettles and maybe Tibb gets replaced by a different coach and we kind of see what the Cavs did last year going from J.B. Bickerstaff to Kenny Atkinson this year?
Sure. Yeah, I think that with the way this Knicks team has gone the last few years, I think everybody gets some rope here and gets another season. And I say everybody, meaning Leon Rose, William Wesley, Brock Aller, the front office, and the coaching staff, they get another year. If they flame out in the second round here and it becomes maybe a conversation publicly, I would expect that, you know, they've done enough here to earn the benefit of the doubt and go into a year, another full season, and see where things shake out. But, yeah, I mean, the questions are going to be there if they flame out in the second round. I think, you know, look, if you're competitive against a Boston or a Cleveland and it's a 7-game series and, you know, it's a coin flip here, coin flip there, I think that matters, right? Or if you get blown out, like, it's a different story. I think if you're competitive, people will live with that. But, yeah, I think that second round thing is hanging over them. And you make a trade for Karl Anthony Towns, you make a trade for Mikal Bridges, you want to take the next step, and you do that to take the next step. So, yeah, the expectations have changed around here for sure.
And you've been around the NBA covering it for such a long time. I want your perspective because we're in the bubble. We're in the Cavs bubble, and we think very highly of this team. Do you feel like this Cavs team is a contender with Boston, or do you feel like Boston is still just – they just have a dynasty in the making?
Look, if everybody's healthy, I'm still taking Boston because of they've done it together, and that matters to me. I love the Hunter trade. I think he's going to be fantastic for Cleveland in playoff series, and I love that they went for it in that respect. But I do think just Boston, like, let's just say everybody's healthy, which never really happens. But I think Boston, they've done it before. Their depth is solid, and I would give them the edge over Cleveland. But this team, this Cleveland team, to me, is built to compete at this level, the level where they are right now, for several years to come. So, you know, give credit to everybody involved, Kobe Altman, Kenny Atkinson, everybody, because they put this team in a very good spot right now.
So to look at the Nets here, I was obsessed with Cam Johnson for a bit. I settled with DeAndre Hunter, and I'm very quite happy here. But the Nets, I was thinking about the Nets and like, oh, they've got to be right there in the thick of it for the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes. And I realized I think they've got like the ninth worst somewhere in there record in the NBA. Are they going to be too good to land Cooper Flagg? And if so, why don't they just lean all the way into the suck for 1 year?
Yeah, I think they will be too good, and I think I don't know if you say blame is the right term, but it's Jordy Fernandez, right? It's the head coach, Jordy Fernandez, who was, I believe, with the Cavs organization at some point in his career. He's been fantastic as a first-year head coach in Brooklyn. So, you know, there's been players in and out of the lineup. They traded Dennis Schroeder, who was, you know, one of their top performers, and so they traded Dorian Finney-Smith, another guy who was really helping them. So they've been everything that you could put in place here to lose games. They've put that in place, but they've got this group of players, some who have been on the fringe of this league, and they're playing hard. And you're not going to convince players to lose, as you guys know. You're not going to tell a head coach he's got to lose games, as you guys know. So those elements, I think, are going to keep the Nets from getting a Cooper Flagg or an Ace Bailey. But to me, there's a lot of value in getting the coach right. Right, that's a big step that you have to, you know, kind of check off when you're trying to win. So they got the coach right, and to me, that matters maybe a little bit more than, you know, the draft, whether you're drafting seventh or third or fifth. Your coach is there, and he's going to set the foundation. So I think to get that right is a big step for Brooklyn.
Yeah, you were around Atkinson a lot, obviously, when he was with the Nets as well. What has surprised you that he does with the Cavs that maybe you didn't see coming based off of all the time you saw with him in Brooklyn?
You know, it's interesting. He was actually talking about this when the Cavs were in New York, and he was saying, you know, with Brooklyn, you know, it was a lot of, you know, pick and roll, you know, threes and layups, and kind of that was the framework that a lot of teams were kind of working through. But he said after spending time in different spots, including Golden State, he altered the way he approached offense and the way he approached the game. He put different wrinkles in, you know, whether it was from the Warriors or other teams. He did not stick strictly to that, you know, D'Antoni, Houston threes and layups and get to the free throw line. He wanted to have a more varied offense, and I think that's what you're seeing in Cleveland. I'm happy for him because I think he got a raw deal in Brooklyn. The Stars, for whatever reason, wanted him out of there after he had built the thing up with Sean Marks. And I'm just happy to see him in this position because he's a fantastic coach.
Ian, is this Donovan Mitchell's best chance to win an NBA title?
See, I think the way things are set up, I don't think it's like the window is going to close right this summer. Yeah, I think that you can look at the runway being a little bit longer here with this group, just with the core players. I think he's going to have a shot over the next few seasons. Obviously, circumstances matter. We may be kind of looking back at last year, 5 years from now, we might be saying, look, that was the Knicks' best chance to get through and get to a finals, and they didn't do it because of the way the draw was. So circumstances matter a lot, obviously, in any playoffs. But I think with Donovan, I think you're not closing the window anytime soon. So I think it's kind of a longer horizon there for this group.
Do you think Evan Mobley can be a top five player in, let's say, 3, 4, 5 years?
Top five is a lot. I would say no to top five. But, I mean, he's a very good player, right? A very, very good player. And he'll win you a lot of games. And if he is kind of who obviously Cleveland hopes that he is, he'll win you playoff games. And he'll you know, get you through tough moments in a playoff series. And so I don't know about top five. Top five is hallowed real estate, but very, very good player in Evan Mobley. And it's been fun to watch the development year over year. Hasn't been linear for him, but for him to be where he is now, I think it's just obviously a testament to the organization and to Evan himself that he's here. Because as you guys know, like, you know, there was real questions about whether you could keep Garland, you could keep Donovan, you could keep Mobley, and you could keep Jared Allen. And, you know, here we are, Cavs having a fantastic season with all those guys here. So, yeah, kudos to management, because a lot of teams around the league felt like it wasn't going to happen, felt like there was going to have to be a piece moved out of one of those players to make it work. That's not the case, and here we are tonight.
Ian, great stuff, man. Enjoy this matchup tonight. Unlike my partner, I expect a very good game. We appreciate you, buddy.
I hope we get a good one, and hopefully next time it's not the second one of a back-to-back, but always great to be with you guys. Have fun tonight.
All right, thank you so much. Ian Begley there, SNY, Knicks, Nets, and NBA for SNY on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We got to react to what he said about the Cleveland Cavaliers and the New York Knicks in about 5 minutes on 90.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
2-3 The Fan. Were you surprised by that answer?
No, it's what I expected.
Oh, it's interesting because I think one of two things usually happens. Like when a team is bad, especially unexpectedly so, the local beat is harder and local media is harder on that team than like the national crowd, unless it's like an overflowing embarrassment. Like the national crowd really didn't take victory laps on the Browns outside of Deshaun as a huge victory. I mean, national media members have come on this station to defend Stefanski and Barry after, in the midst of what was a quagmire of a season. And then if you are good, the opposite happens, where the local media and fans tend to put more emphasis on your success than maybe the national crowd. I think it's interesting that right now everybody's in agreement the Knicks are a bit overrated.
Yeah, I mean, the missing part of that equation, although you're right, typically when it comes to media and local media, is that New York is just a little bit different. And New York is going to constantly try to seek out why things are wrong and how they can get better. And I'm telling you, I've been... I've been checking in way too much on the Knicks in the previous couple weeks, hence why it just didn't surprise me in any way, because they're devastated by the idea that they're 0-5 against the three best teams in the NBA. Like they know they're good, but they just don't think they're Boston, Cleveland, Oklahoma City good.
You've triggered me, and this always used to piss me off when Bull did it, so I'm just triggering something back.
Okay.
Guys, New Yorkers are as big a homers as anybody else. Like, it drives me crazy of, oh, we don't do that, New York. Bull crap.
All right, every time the Knicks. New York media goes to town, though.
Every time the New York Knicks get tangibly good.
That's the fans. You talked about the media. And the media in New York is different than the fan base in New York. And the media in New York will go, they go crazy.
Yeah, so do we.
I'm not saying it's not an us versus them type thing. But
it absolutely is.
Definitely,
for the purposes of this conversation,
there are much more homers in the Cleveland market than they're on the New York market. And come on now.
I don't know. I disagree. I listen to WFAN. There are plenty of homers.
I like that you use Bull in this equation. When Bull worked at WFAN and lived in New York, and he's the one that's wrong in this equation?
He would just always say things.
Tell him how he's wrong more.
I get it. You like Bull more than me. But he would always just say things like, we don't do that in New York. And I'm like, yeah, yes, you do. Like it was just a little big timey for me, and it set me off when you said it because it sounded like something he would say.
You tried to blanket all of the whole entire how local media reacts to any sort of situation. In New York,
we live in a simulation. It was very similar.
Just a little bit different.
Everything is like in one standard deviation of positivity or negativity.
I would have been shocked if Ian Begley was like, "No, I think the Knicks are right there with Boston." I would have been shocked if he's like, "They're right there with the Cavs." I just wouldn't have seen it coming.
They're within eight games. They've been to the conference semis the last 2 years, and they're arguably a better team on paper with Mikal Bridges and Karl-Anthony Towns now than they were a year ago. So it's just wild that that anybody's hammering the Knicks. And again, I don't think the Knicks. I don't necessarily think the Knicks are going to win a championship, but they're better now. Like they were a really good team and a pesky team last year. You've got the killer and Jalen Brunson, and you've got a bona fide top 15 talent in Karl-Anthony Towns.
Yeah.
Now, the problem is he's a little bit too much Patrick Ewing. And Patrick Ewing was never fit to be the best player on a championship team. Well, that's kind of what they got Jalen Brunson for. Like that Knicks team with Ewing never had a dog like Jalen Brunson, even if I think he's still a little overrated himself.
I mean, all I can do is tell you what I've been reading for 2 weeks out of New York. Even when they've been winning games,
you've been reading everybody's work there.
Not everyone's work, yeah. But I've been taking a decent amount of it in. Composite sketch,
maybe. I think people are sleeping on the Knicks. I think that's a team you want to avoid in the playoffs. I think there are two teams that could tangibly beat you in the playoffs. I think it's the Knicks and it's the Celtics. The Celtics in a much more humiliating and different way, but I could see a Cavs Knicks series in reality being a pick 'em. Because one, Thibodeau plays, has his team playing a style of basketball that pushes you around. And two, quite frankly, there is the bugaboo of the Knicks have pantsed you several times, both in the regular season and postseason recently.
For sure, and that'll be something the Cavs have to deal with. By the way, I don't know that the list just extends or just stops at Celtics and Knicks. I mean, We've already basically put the Cavs in the Eastern Conference Finals, but I was listening to a podcast earlier today, and they're like, they came up with like this nightmare scenario where the 76ers actually end up as the 8 seed with the play-in games and how this all equates, and they're like, that's a bad matchup for the Cavs to start off the playoffs. Like, there's certain scenarios out there that exist that I do think could be landmines, not necessarily Philadelphia, but as an opening round matchup, taking on Joel Embiid, like, that's not... It's not going to be a cakewalk. I think a lot of people think it's going to be easy to Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals. I just don't think it's going to be.
I agree. And honestly, I think the Cavs are a team that if a team like Miami right now is currently the 8th seed, or if a team like you faced Orlando again. Orlando, I think Banchero's taken a step forward. They still could use one more player.
That's a good team, though.
But I think it will be a good thing if you play a team that stylistically does things that you're uncomfortable with.
Yeah, I mean, Indiana, I think, is one of those teams.
Well, Indiana's the opposite side because they just play... I don't know too many teams that play that exact style of basketball. I'm talking more just a team that's going to try and push you around. A team that's going to try and bully you.
Oh, I was thinking, speaking more like matchup-wise, but yeah. Bully-wise, Well, that's, again, we can go back to the Knicks and we can talk about, again, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. I don't even know what's going to happen with Milwaukee. It seems like that's crumbling right now with Giannis and what's happened in the reports there over the past really 3-4 days. But there's some landmines in there. There are.
Yeah, and again, I think that's best for the Cavs. Like, I don't, okay. I know we all love the LeBron Cavs, where it was like, wake me up when the Eastern Conference Finals start.
Yeah.
If the Cavs are going to take multiple leaps, for them to go from where they were last year, which is getting bounced out in the divisional, or sorry, the, what is that, the semifinal round of the playoffs in 5 games by a far superior and far healthier Celtics team, to being an NBA title team this year, it can't be cakewalk city until the Celtics. Like, it can't just be 4-game sweeps and the easy, and we're all just popping champagne and it's 30-point wins every night.
It'd make us feel good.
Well, yeah, it'd make you feel good, but it's false hope. Like, and now granted, I want to miss the Knicks entirely because I don't want to have to go from a 7-game series with the Knicks to a 7-game series with the Celtics. Those 14 games would be hell on the Cavs, and you'd worry about health stuff with your guards and everything else, and Dean Wade, of course, and Isaac Okoro now. But, you know, I think getting pushed, and maybe it's a competitive 5-game series or even a competitive 6-game series, I think credible fear is something you need to experience. And I think I think Darius Evan could use a slow simmer to a boil when understanding the pressure of the playoffs. Last year was a little bit of this, but there was so much pressure because they just didn't play up to their ability against Orlando. And they really struggled with that physicality. That series should have been over in 5 games. I'm not saying I want series to go on longer than they should. But like if your first round matchup's Miami, a nice 5-game series where every game's competitive, I think does you more than a 5-game series against Chicago, who you just completely sweep out of the gym every night.
What's interesting to me about that, and so I've been thinking about this in relation to how we talk about LeBron and some of the playoff games. When we watch these regular season games, for the most part, Nick, it's taken me back to when we watched LeBron regular season games in many ways, and that they've blown teams out. And so I wonder how the first two rounds of the playoffs are going to look. I really do. Because there is a part of me, I get what you're saying, but I'd like to see him put boots to ass. I would. I'd like to see him be able to just really, really dominate a series start to finish and just show us that they have taken those leaps forward.
So maybe this is the better way to put it, because we're going to like the extremes of the situation. I don't want to see the Cavs. I don't want games where I feel like the Cavs lost the game as opposed to the other team won them.
Yeah, like if you run into a team and just shoot, 55% from three, just call it a day. Fine.
Well, and I don't want to see the Cavs get pushed around. I don't want to see the Cavs, when games get tough, lilt. I want to see Darius take over a couple playoff games. I want to see Evan take. Like, those are kind of the circumstances where, like, I as a fan who wants to see them win a championship this year, well, that starts with confidence building playoffs. But that confidence isn't just for you and me. It's for them. I think confidence in the playoffs for a young team can be like a locomotive going downhill. It can build up really, really quickly, and you can surprise people in the NBA. But I don't think you get that way if it's just, well, you just consistently are more talented than the other team and outmatched, and you just play really hard. Like, I don't know how many lessons you learn in that. I think the only way you really grow confidence is if you succeed, and you succeed with enough adversity that by the time you get to Boston, if you get punched in the mouth or if Al Horford's pulling the old man Al crap, that you don't fall apart and you don't lilt.
I think they'll have enough chances to get punched in the mouth before then. I think that's kind of the point of the last couple minutes, right, is us talking about the idea that although they are much better than the Knicks and they are much better than a lot of the other teams in the East, there's still good enough teams there that they'll give the Cavs fits from time to time. The Cavs should just win those 7-game series.
One available QB lists off what he's looking for in his next team to the Browns. Fit that description. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.